This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Hello, everybody. How are we feeling today? Energized, I hope, because we've got a conversation that really needs all the attention it can get lined up for you on today's episode of Great FM. I'm Ahalya, your host, of course. And you know, I think it's safe to say that none of us, like nobody in the world, likes to be put in a box. For decades, organizations have been built around roles, you know, fixed job descriptions, static career ladders, very template way of doing things, right? Neatly labeled boxes on an organizational chart. But today, I think we've all witnessed this in some way, shape, or form, but work is really moving faster than those boxes can sort of keep up with the times. And people are unwilling to be contained. Leading organizations are now re-architecting themselves around skills instead, treating talent as a dynamic portfolio rather than a static headcount. And then you've got AI-powered internal talent marketplaces, skills intelligence, and all of that jazz adding to the mix. Interestingly enough, this shift is unlocking what many organizations didn't realize they already had: massive trapped capacity. Pay attention to that phrase because we're going to talk about it in a lot more detail in today's conversation. So we're going to explore how HR and business leaders can move from rigid hierarchies to fluid career paths and what it truly takes to build a more agile organizations where skills flow to the work in real time. So let's unpack it all with the help of Kalappa KB, Chief People Officer, TriPoint, who's bringing a wealth of experience to the conversation today. Hi, Kalappa. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm so excited to dive into this very, very interesting and relevant conversation for people listening in today.
A pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. Looking forward.
So I have gotten permission from Kalappa to refer to him as Kals through the rest of the conversation. So I'm going to take him up on that offer. So Kals, let's begin with the problem, right? Why has this shift become a phenomenon in the first place? And why do traditional role-based structures kind of struggle in today's business environment? I think we've all experienced this, like I said, in some way, shape or form. And it can't just be the fact that people don't like being contained, right? It has to be something more.
Fantastic question to begin with. While the role-based model is slightly outdated with intervention of AI and with HR moving in a, such a fast pace, people look for skills and attitude. I think that's going to rule the entire game. So obviously, moving forward, people would hire people for skills and hire people for attitude. And these are the only two things. And that's what the future demands.
Right. So taking off from that, I also want to understand what happens when organizations rely too heavily on fixed job titles and, you know, these boxes, so to speak. What kind of breaks down in the process of clinging to those boxes?
Right. Okay. So if I have to give you an example of, what I do in my current organization, is that when we have a specific role which comes up, I kind of go beyond the borders to look at people. As long as people understand the function, I don't really worry about which industry they come from, because typically when you bring people from a very similar industry, they come with a lot of baggage. For example, if you need to kind of implement something, first thing they would say is that, this is exactly what I used to do in my previous organization. Versus when you bring somebody from a different industry, but the function remains the same, it's a lot more easier because you don't carry any baggage. So which means you are open for learning and unlearning a lot more quicker and faster. And because you hire for skills and attitude, your baggage is not going to be there. Probably you have a number of examples should you encounter a problem. So that is where the so-called structured role-based approach to the same industry-based approach, people are moving across to function-wise, skill-wise, and attitude-wise, a lot more easy to learn and unlearn. And you're going to unlock a lot of things where a particular problem is actually faced slightly differently in different organizations. And also the kind of advantages of bringing people from different industries.
Right. So I think what I'm picking up on, you know, from that response is this idea of, first of all, diversity of thought, but also that it lends to progress, right? In a way that I think organizational charts and this role-based kind of hiring does not. Clearly, if you've got these rigid roles and structures, they're just going to lend to more rigidity in themselves, right? So But I think our listeners will also benefit from a tangible example of what this shift looks like in real life, Cal. So can you tell us, what a role-based organization would have looked like before and what's happening now in terms of skill-based hiring?
Okay, for example, if I have to give you an HR position per se, if I have to hire someone in my current industry of QSR, I would typically look at people from QSR segment of business versus from the time I've been in this organization, I have actually hired people from different industries while the function remained the same. And that's how the organization would look like because the moment I've hired people from different industry, the perspective changes. They bring in a lot more value add on to the organization because the same problem has been dealt very, very differently in different industries.
That's an interesting place for us to be, right? A place of evolution and change. And when we speak of evolution and change, there are these two letters that we cannot avoid in a conversation anymore, Cal. So I don't know if you've been feeling this and been running into this as well, but we have to talk about how AI has sort of lent itself to this evolution, right? One of the biggest ways I think it's involved in it is the internal talent marketplaces. So, could you take us behind the scenes of how AI internal talent marketplaces are reshaping the world of work and facilitating this skill-based hiring shift?
Probably I want to start with there's so much of talk about AI in every forum, and I'm sure everybody kind of watches this in various news, be it on social media, about how AI is going to change, people are going to lose their jobs, and so on and so forth. I want to kind of start saying that AI will take away those people's job who actually don't learn AI. And those people who kind of acquire AI skills quick and fast are the ones who will survive and thrive in this industry.
Yeah, I think that's a common sentiment that we've been hearing about, this idea that AI will not replace people, but people using AI will replace certain people and roles, right? So
You're
that's
bang
something
on.
to keep an eye out for. And as work becomes more project and task based, because that's just, a result of the skill-based shift that we've been seeing. I think the popular notion is that AI is increasingly matching skills to work in real time. Now, what does this leveling up require in terms of data, governance, even operational discipline, right? Because you're talking about software tools that are catching up to people's skills or enabling more skill-based work in the workplace. So, what are the other considerations for us to be making in such a moment in time?
Probably I want to kind of break this down to start with recruitment and talent acquisition. A
Right.
traditional way of doing it is manual resume screening, long hiring process, cycle times are really, really huge versus screening resume through NLP, absolutely spot on in terms of not word-based search versus skill-based search. AI chatbot, which converse with people as good as what human does. Some predictive analysis attached to this, in terms of finding the best fit. And overall, I can see from a talent acquisition perspective, reducing the hiring time, less of bias, more of absolutely spot on skills. In turn, I think this will impact faster hiring, better quality of talent coming on board, less bias, improved candidate experience. The second part is on employee onboarding. Everybody has to be treated differently. Everybody has to be handled differently. And I use this adage called different strokes for different folks. Second, virtual assistant to guide them on the new hire, in terms of what are the process needs to be followed rather than remembering and looking at a charter, which is written down somewhere versus the virtual chatbot or an assistant can help you go through this process. Automated document verification and training schedules. An impact would be quick ramp up, higher early engagement and a lot more satisfied employee the way you onboard. Moving on, learning and development. AI-driven recommendations for people based on, their learning needs, certification. And there are so many micro learning can happen through LinkedIn Learning to Coursera and so on and so forth. Impact, continuous learning aligned with the business needs is what going to succeed. Moving on, performance management, which is most highly spoken topic across. With AI coming on board, continuous performance tracking. If I need to give an example to you, we kind of started tracking people every quarter. We are not depending on 1 year. We have something called 100-day plan, and we kind of track people every quarter. Goals are reviewed, performance has been looked at very closely. with all functions. And this kind of takes away the so-called annual performance appraisal to quarterly performance for us, which means every quarter you achieve a lot more than what you achieve for the entire year. And this is proving to be so productive for a company like ours. Also, the other part is real-time feedback for people. And also with AI, you could do sentiment analysis of the people as well, how quarter on quarter is going, how does the 100-day plan is moving across. That's something which is really, really handy. Workforce planning and analytics, I think this is a big one where a lot more organization kind of thrives. With AI coming in, you have predictive analysis again available. Workforce demand and forecasting, you can actually bring people based on the business rather than, loading people, thinking that the business will come through. Scenario planning for future skills, data-driven diversity and inclusion insights in terms of people, in terms of gender, in terms of, I think this workforce planning and analytics is going to be a game changer if really handled well. Reduction of bias and diversity, wherein traditionally you have unconscious human bias, either people worked in the similar sector or someone who you want to bring them on board, even though they don't fit the scheme of things. With AI coming on board, blind resumes would be screened for absolute skills and not for keywords. Fair promotion and pay for performance is the concept I would use. I think wherein biasness would be kind of taken away, and you don't have to tell people that because this person is close to you, you're emotionally connected, you're going to be paying this person, versus when you're done with the performance appraisal with an AI intervention, it'll kind of throw up people who really, eligible and who deserves the promotion or a pay for performance. Impact is more inclusive, equitable workplace. That's how I would sum it up with AI intervention coming in to the HR moving forward in any organization.
Perfect. I think that gives us a really solid download on how AI is sort of enabling and supporting this skill-based shift, and also all of the things we need to keep in mind as HR professionals, leading the shift as well. So if we can just dive a little deeper into, you brought up L&D, you brought up actual skilling work that's going to be happening, right? I think one of the biggest questions here, especially for employees, is how are organizations going to use AI to increase fairness and opportunity when it comes to skill deployment, rather than sort of replace or replicate existing inequities, right? So whatever kind of already exists, the problems that we're already dealing with shouldn't just be replaced with new AI tools and lead to even more problems. I think that's a big concern for employees, is how is AI going to actually facilitate this skill shift as well?
I want to take an example of something which I'm doing currently. We are an organization of where consumer consumption is the name of the game for us. We do see a footfalls on an average across the company because we kind of operate close to 190 stores and different custom experience places across the company. Now, with customer feedback is very, very important for us. When I talk about customer feedback, because we have different level of business, we have Tri Point Experience as a business, and we have also Brewing Board as a business, where there are different set of customers interact with you so often, where customer feedback becomes very important for us. Currently, in the traditional way, we had this entire team onboarded through our own company, with certain skill set, and I did recognize saying that bringing. One is to outsource to the company who has got the skill set and who kind of does this in very, very turnkey projects across global organization. Second, the company also uses quite a bit of an AI chatbot to kind of deal with it. Now, it's been over last, I would say, 15, 20 days now, we kind of outsource this entire model. And I can actually see the result in two ways, where earlier the so-called command center was more looked at, where customer gives feedback and you kind of churn the data manually and then you kind of go in action, versus I am looking at the data now in everyday basis, very dynamic way. I kind of see that it has become a revenue earning department than where calls are simply being received. Now, AI has tremendously helped in not just in handling calls, in handling some of the customer queries, because we have done FAQs, it has actually given a lot more leverage to people in terms of handling more calls. Probably our call rate, which earlier it used to be not answered, was, for example, X percentage. Today we come down by X minus X minus X, which means We've been able to attend all the customer queries. We've been able to answer customer queries. Our business is going to be on the uptick. Second, our NPS score, the customer satisfaction scores also look to be slowly going up. So this is one of the classic example of enabling AI and also looking at who can do what in terms of the skill set, identifying those skill set which is not your core, which can become core to someone else, and they can do really, really well, as a classic example which I can give you.
Yeah, always easier to learn from an example, and great to know about all of the amazing work happening within the organization. I think that just gives all of us hope, right, about the future and the direction of the skill-based evolution. I also want to ask you, from an HR perspective, especially like a hiring perspective, Kals, do you see AI becoming a talent broker of sorts, within the organization, hiring laterally, vertically, whatever it is? And what guardrails do you think leaders should put in place as AI, does take on a certain level of influence when it comes even to the hiring game?
I think AI plays a fantastic role in terms of how people are recruited in the future. For example, we are a company which is evolving, we are a company which is growing, and we kind of cross-pollinate a lot of positions from different businesses, be it hotels, airline, hospital, banking, and so on and so forth. Now, we were coining a new, vertical for us, and we wanted to look at some JDs, what is, other sectors of the business which does really, really well. Earlier, we used to struggle to kind of create a JD. Today, it at the fingertip, we kind of been able to create a JD. One, second, once a JD is created, we know what are the skill set you need to look for. Earlier, for example, I still remember working with a lot of HRMS companies. I used to kind of tell them that if you have an applicant tracking system, how good is your parser system? How do you parse the resume? What's the accuracy of a parser? This used to be the language which I used to use. Today, with AI getting enabled, you parse a resume through a ChatGPT or a Perplexity or so on and so forth, putting the skill set to say that these are the five skills, must-have skills which I'm looking for people. Even though you get the resume through a Naukri or a LinkedIn or through various other job portal, you pass them through AI, which is ChatGPT or Perplexity. Your accuracy levels of a resume is spot on or bang on. Where we used to struggle looking at 100 resumes, 1,000 resumes, today we've been able to narrow down with five resumes, absolutely bang on, which kind of suits the skill set. Unlike we're looking at matching the JD to JD, looking at what's your previous compensation is. I think I want to kind of rely on the fact that it's absolutely game changer for us how we recruit people, and the accuracy at which when we recruited people, they've been able to perform at the ground. And this is where I would say AI has actually helped me pinpoint particular role, particular resume, absolutely fitting into the scheme of things, which otherwise you wouldn't have gone through so much of a detailing. You would have made a lot of mistake, and once you do a hiring mistake, those mistakes are going to be so costly. Probably I can tell you that our success rate hiring through AI has been bang on. A lot more productive people, a lot more people who are amiable to the company, and I always keep telling people that always bring people two levels higher than what we are today, because that's the way company is going to grow. That's going to be the future of the organization. I actually fancy AI big time, in terms of how I look at people.
Yeah, no, it's your passion for it definitely comes through in the conversation, Kalappa. But I think and an important part of the second part of that question was, are there any guardrails or any sort of words of caution that you would like to give people listening today? Because it's a huge shift to now have software and tools enabling hiring decisions, right? So anything there that you'd like to add?
Absolutely. We are looking for a particular positions in finance as a financial controller. Obviously, AI done its work and we got those sharp four or five resume which fits into the scheme of things. In some cases, the people intervention in terms of meeting people, talking to people will unearth a lot of things. I think while AI can do bring in a lot of efficiency in terms of how you can sharpen your or rather narrow down the resumes, but I think the people intervention in terms of meeting people, understanding people on a one-on-one cannot be taken away. While we depend on AI to kind of give that sharp resume, but the human intervention about what you can determine while you talk to the person and what you gauge, AI can't take away this element. So that's my guardrail. Especially when you recruit people, don't just depend upon AI completely. There is a human element which needs to be considered.
No, absolutely. And I think that applies to a lot of different workflows that AI is being introduced to, right? So definitely an important point to note. And you know, like I said in my introduction, Kaz, there's one particular phrase, trapped capacity, that I really want to spotlight. So I'm going to ask for your thoughts on that now. It's a huge idea that has come out of this shift. Where is this capacity typically hiding, and why does it go unnoticed for so long? Why has it only just now started getting unearthed with the advent of the skill based shift?
I think the earlier was everything was manual. You would go and justify to people to say that there's so much of a work which has gone in. When you explain this to people, people used to think that this is such a clerical, run-of-the-mill job. But today, when you look at building capacity, for example, I kind of been able to bring my total strength of the department. We used to be 28 people. We currently 19 people. We are 9 down. Work has increased tenfold. All these things have happened because advent of AI, and I always also feel that people need to kind of have a full day job in terms of what do they do. But with the advent of all the AI and all the digitization process which has happened, it actually helped build capacity with the existing people. And I have this slogan to say that do more with less. And it's kind of apt with all the things which is happening surround with us. And the classic example which I gave, a reduction of 26 people to 19 people with work doubling up. It's just about building capacity. And taking away those empty spaces which people used to have and not do anything about it. Today, people are highly engaged, thoroughly kind of learning as a part of the process. When you look at people in terms of hiring on skills and not for the roles, and that's an example which I want to quote, which we kind of replicated here. And I'm sure most organizations also would be doing very similar stuff, moving forward.
Right. That's a good point that you've brought up about just understanding, you know, where the bottlenecks are. And it's time to end the conversation. But before I do, I want to get your thoughts on one last thing. And this is particularly relevant for our HR audience that always tunes in, Kels. And this is that, you know, HR, as we've seen over the past couple of years, and I think specifically right after COVID, you know, have really started occupying space when it comes to business strategy, when it comes to driving business revenue growth, etc. And it's a very keen shift that, you know, HR leaders, HR managers, and professionals are tracking every single day. So even this kind of movement, right, from roles to skills in the workplace places HR at the center of business strategy. So what would be your message to HR teams on, you know, how they can do things differently to lead this transition rather than, you know, simply get left behind and be a part of it? You know, it's important for us to occupy that lead role.
HR, long before AI, has coined this position called HRBP, HR Business Partnering. And we gave this nomenclature to people, most of the times not understanding what does HRBP really means. Now, typically in a business, if HR needs to have a seat on the table today, they need to understand the business the way business understands the business. For example, we have three lines of business. If I don't understand the business the way business understands the business, I will not have the seat on the table. Neither business will entertain you. Now, the real meaning to the HRBP means if my business is not ticking, if I as an HR guy understand my business is not ticking, which means I need to be cautious about spends. I need to be cautious about the kind of people who I need to bring on the table for an interview. That is where I think HR complements. I think one of the things which every HR professional needs to do is when you get into an organization, spend more time with the business to understand all the pain points and the nitty-gritty of the business, and including going to the, for example, every Friday, I kind of make it a point to go and sit in one of our store entire day, coach them, guide them, help the business. And every alternate Friday, I also go to the business of our client's place I go to. For example, I pick up the clients and I go and visit the client's place and go and ask them, what do they think about our brewing bots? What do they think about the quality of the coffee and the tea and our services? I pick up the clue and I come back and give feedback to people and also give feedback to the people at the ground. I think that's the name of the game if HR needs to have seat on the table.
That's absolutely true. I think you'll find a lot of HR professionals agreeing with you there that it's very valuable to understand the business before you try to lead it or participate in it, right? Thank you so much, Kaz, for your valuable insights. A great conversation today. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you for having me on board. Really appreciate it.
All right, we'll catch you in the next episode, everybody. But like I said, this conversation very relevant to our times today. So I hope you've made copious notes, and yeah, see you on the next one.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.